Amen. Thank you guys for leading us powerfully in worship this morning. Thank you for the presentation of the Lord's table this morning. Colin really appreciated that. And thank you, every one of you, for your participation in worship this morning. As I sat at the back, it just warmed my heart. I was away just one Sunday, and I come back and I'm like, whoa, it's good to be back. It's nice to be here and amongst God's people. And God is at work. God is at work amongst us. And that's exciting. That's thrilling. Thank you for those of you that prayed for me last week. It was just a real sense that we were being upheld in prayer. And things seem to go well, but we've got a journey ahead. I want to share with you from 1 Corinthians 12. We're looking a little bit about the meaning of membership. What does it mean to be part of a community of God's people? I want to share with you from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It will be very helpful for you to have a Bible. We're on page 959 of these black Bibles that you can find in the bookshelves at the back. Don't be shy. Go and grab one. And having then got you to turn to 1 Corinthians 12, I'm going to confuse you a little by reading from the Message. Okay, so you can follow along just to check it out. But I want to read from verse 12 to the end of the chapter from the Message version, because in itself, this is a message. So if you don't take anything away, this is like a sermon for the day from this passage. And it just I found it very helpful the way that it puts it. Let me just start with the way he starts at verse 1. And I'm just going to read the first phrase of verse 1, then jump to verse 12. What I want you to talk about now is the various ways God's Spirit gets worked into our lives. And then verse 12. You can easily enough see how this kind of thing works by looking no further than your own body. Your body has many parts, limbs, organs, cells, but no matter how many parts you can name, you're still one body. It's exactly the same with Christ. By means of his one Spirit, we all said goodbye to our partial and piecemeal lives. We each used to independently call our own shots. But then we entered into a large and integrated life in which he has the final say in everything. This is what we proclaimed in word and action when we were baptized. Each of us is now part of his resurrection body, refreshed and sustained at one fountain, his Spirit, where we all come to drink. The old labels we once used to identify ourselves, labels like Jew or Greek, slave or free, are no longer useful. We need something larger, more comprehensive. I want you to think about how all this makes you more significant, not less. A body isn't just a single part blown up into something huge. It's all the different but similar parts arranged and functioning together. If foot said, I'm not elegant like hand, embellished with rings, I guess I don't belong to the body, would that make it so? If ear said, I'm not beautiful like the eye, limpid and expressive, I don't deserve a place on the head, would you want to remove it from the body? If the body was all eye, how could it hear? If all ear, how could it smell? As it is, we see that God has carefully placed each part of the body right where he wanted it. But I also want you to think about how this keeps your significance from getting blown up into self-importance. For no matter how significant you are, it's only because of what you are part of. An enormous eye or a gigantic hand wouldn't be a body, but a monster. What we have is one body with many parts, each its proper size and in its proper place. No part is important on its own. Can you imagine eye telling hand, get lost, I don't need you. Or head telling foot, you're fired, your job has been phased out. As a matter of fact, in practice it works the other way. The lower the part, the more basic and therefore necessary. You can live without an eye, for instance, but not without a stomach. When it's a part of your own body you're concerned with, it makes no difference whether the part is visible or clothed, higher or lower. You give it dignity and honor just as it is, without comparisons. If anything, you have more concern for the lower parts than the higher. If you had to choose, wouldn't you prefer good digestion to a full-bodied head of hair? The way God designed our bodies is a model for understanding our lives together as a church. Every part dependent on every other part. The parts we mention and the parts we don't. The parts we see and the parts we don't. If one part hurts, every other part is involved in the hurt and in the healing. If one part flourishes, every other part enters into the exuberance. You are Christ's body. That's who you are. You must never forget this. Only as you accept you're part of that body does your part mean anything. You're familiar with some of the parts that God has formed in his church, which is his body. Apostles, prophets, teachers, miracle workers, healers, helpers, organizers, those who pray in tongues. But it's obvious by now, isn't it? That Christ's church is a complete body and not a gigantic, unidimensional part. It's not all apostle, not all prophet, not all miracle worker, not all healer, not all prayer in tongues, not all interpreter of tongues. And yet some of you keep competing for the so-called important parts. But now, I want to lay out a far better way for you. Well, may God bless his word to us this morning. And jump back into the Bibles that we've got here, the English Standard Version and 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and you'll be able to see some of the links between what I've just read and the way that this version places it this morning. I wonder as I begin, have you ever been subjected to mistaken identity? Maybe it happens to some of us more than to others. I seem quite often to have these things happen to me. Either people think they've met me somewhere before, and or I'm just minding my own business, walking around B&Q or Tesco's, and somebody comes up to me thinking that I must be someone connected with the store and asks me for something. What do you do in these sort of situations? I must have a helpful face because I'm so desiring to help that person that often I walk them to the aisle where they're like wanting to go or whatever instead of us arguing with them about not being part of the place that I'm in. Mistaken identity can work positively for you, but it can also work negatively. I mean, there are situations where you really don't want to be mistaken for someone else. Now, the church at Corinth, I want to suggest to you today, would not have been a church. If you're like doing the rounds, checking out, finding out where you could go to church, looking for a new church, this church would not be on your list of prime candidates at the end of such a round. Here we have a church that tolerated incest amongst its members. Some of the members were suing one another in the local courts. Some people were actually getting drunk at communion because they were drinking far too much. The poorer members of the church were relegated to kind of like, the rough seats at the back. Don't get too near. And there was this absolutely crazy view of gifting and service in the church. Like, people only wanted to be part of what was dramatic and supernatural. They wanted the kind of upfront things. You know, I was blessed by the worship band this morning, but it was as if everyone wanted to be in the worship band. They all wanted to be up here, noticed by everyone, and no one was there to put away the seats or to sort out the coffee or do anything that was really needful along with everything else. They wanted to be speaking heavenly languages out loud in front of everyone. They wanted to be healing people by touch. They wanted those kind of dramatic things to be going on, and they all wanted a part of that. Doesn't sound very good, does it? Just this week, a non-Christian, more non-church-going, I won't make the judgment, non-church-going friend of ours was relating to us a story of going to church. She took her family along to a church local in Aberdeen, and having persuaded them, the very rare occasion for them to go along to the church, they sat down in the church, having got there a little bit early, only to be confronted a few minutes later by someone who came along to them and said, "These are our seats." please move. Like, you know, no welcome, no good morning, but actually just a polite request not to be there. Hey, how about that? Doesn't sound very good, does it? I tell you what, we're not bad here, and as I look around, I'm thinking it's pretty good. But if you're a regular, now I'm not counting you guests and visitors here this morning, but if you're a regular here at Hillview, do me a favor, won't you? And next week, sit in a different seat, okay? And whoever you're sitting next to, talk to them, okay? And don't say, please move. Say, you're very welcome, and just greet them in the name of Christ. But you know what? The remarkable thing about this Corinthian church, I mean, like, which you guys have already written off, because, I mean, can you think of a church as bad as that? But, you know, the remarkable thing about the Corinthian church was Paul's attitude towards it. Look how he starts his letter. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4. I give thanks to my God always for you. Hang on, Paul. Have you got the right church? Are you sending this letter to the right address? Do you know these group of people? These group of people are, you know, are full of imperfections. But Paul says, no, I see past the imperfections. It's like there's a case of mistaken identity, only they've mistaken who they are themselves. Paul sees something different. And really my message this morning can be summarized by 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 27, page 959 in these Bibles, in that second column, halfway down. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. Despite the imperfections, whatever's getting in the way, they are being requested by Paul to live up to who they are. Who they are. And he uses this body imagery to point them to who they are. They are the body, not just anybody, they are the body of the risen Lord. They are a living, breathing representation of the Lord Jesus, alive and living on earth today. They are the people who will do his deeds. They are the people who will speak his words. They are the hands and feet that will go in his name and do what he would do. Only they don't realize it. So what can we learn along with them as he speaks to them through these verses, verse 12 to verse 31 in 1 Corinthians? I'm just quickly going to go through and just give us a few points to take away with us today, which are relevant not just for when we're together, but actually for when we're apart as well. So this is a takeaway to go into your week with as well. But where do we start? Well, verses 12, 13. We belong together. We belong together. We're brought together, formed in Christ. You know, the same way that a little one is formed inside its mother. At first, it's kind of like inchoate. It's not really there. It doesn't look much like the baby that will be born, but gradually the bits are brought together and it grows, and a healthy fetus develops into that baby that's ready to be delivered. They are formed in Christ. It's a work of God, that God forms us. Sometimes we look around and we go, we don't look much like Jesus. But we're a work in progress. God is at work forming us. The Spirit is the source and the unifying force amongst us. Whatever labels that we previously wore are no longer relevant or suitable for us today. However we've been labeled by the church, we need to understand that we have a different identity now. That these labels of Jew, Greek, slave, free, whether they're racial labels or social labels, are no longer going to work for us. Because God has done something for us that goes beyond all these things. Just this week was Martin Luther King Day, and that celebration of that amazing message that he gave, you know, in that great oratorical style. He had a dream. Well, in church, the way that it's supposed to be is that we are supposed to be living the dream. This is the place to be living out the dream. Coming together, we find a new identity, not an individual identity, an identity that doesn't depend on who I am, on who you are, but an identity who depends on who he is. It's an identity in Christ. And it's shared whether we are together like we are now or right apart as we go through the week. Like you might only see each other a little bit through the week, but it doesn't change who you fundamentally are. You are part of Christ's body if you are a follower of Jesus here in Aberdeen. You're part of his body in this city, his body in the world. We belong together. And that's what Paul starts with. Though we are many, we're one body. And it's like that in Christ. And then he goes on in verse 14 to 16 to tell us that actually we belong together, but everybody matters. You might come to church and you might think sometimes, or you may be part of an event or something where Christ is celebrated, and you might think, I'm pretty insignificant here. What I'm doing isn't counting for much. I'm just sitting and listening this morning, or I'm not participating in what's happening here at the front. I'm not doing anything special. But everyone, Paul says, matters. Everyone matters. The body doesn't consist of one member, but of many. Diversity is essential. Look around, look at your own body, and you'll realize that. Diversity is absolutely essential. There are many parts, but one body. The many parts make up one body. And so we absolutely should not expect uniformity. Don't come to church hoping to become like me. I know you're going to disappoint me by saying you never did want to do that anyway. I'm going pretty thin on top and there's all sorts of things not right with me. But don't come to church wanting to be like anyone else. Don't come to church wanting to be like Martin or Colin or anybody that you meet here. Don't come to church wanting to be like somebody, because the diversity of God's work amongst us is the beauty of his work amongst us. We don't expect uniformity. God delights in diversity and difference. But there's a unity to be found in our diversity. There are different personalities, different roles, different functions. But together, we constitute a whole. We all have significance. Do you know one of the things that people yearn for today? One of the things that our culture fails to give people so often today, in this culture that seeks 15 minutes of fame. You know, you can live a whole life, and somehow or other, it's meant to be good if you get 15 minutes of fame. No, my friends. What our culture needs and yearns for is what you have, significance. If you're here today in Jesus, you are significant. Doesn't matter what you do. Doesn't matter what part you play around here. You are significant. Everyone matters. Let's move on. Verse 17 to 20. Now, this is no insult to any of you sitting down there this morning, but keep yourself in proportion. I'm not sending anyone on a diet or anything like that. Keep yourself in proportion. That's what Paul is saying. Everyone matters. It's important that we don't undermine our own significance. But then it's also important that we don't see ourselves as being so overly significant, or see someone else as being so overly significant, that it all takes over and becomes a kind of monstrous entity. This kind of body that's just an eye. I was thinking of Mike Wazowski from Monsters, Inc. But then he does have a mouth, you know? So this body that becomes an eye and walks into the church, keep yourself in proportion. There's a significance that comes from being part of the whole. And remember, that's where the significance comes. It's not from somebody blowing themselves up way, way bigger than they ought to be. There's one answer for that, and that's a pin to kind of give them a little bit of a puncture. But the significance comes from being part of a whole, not from being an outstanding part. It's from being part of a whole. So there's no superiority of role. There's no superiority of function. And Paul here is particularly concerned with this Corinthian church to say to them, there's no superiority of gifting. Like, it's not just these wild, dramatic things that should be honored in the church. It's the small and seemingly insignificant things that matter to the community of God's people as well. not to decry the dramatic and the supernatural and the wonderful and the ways that the Spirit works and moves in gifts of healing and in words from the depths of God's being that move people towards encouragement, towards Jesus. Those are important things. Gifts of prophecy and speaking out God's word in tongues and in gifts of healing. Those are all important. But here was a church that was getting the mix completely wrong, because they weren't really reflecting in that the person of Jesus. You know, without the rest of the body doesn't really function. We are interdependent. And that's what Paul is saying here in these verses. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, that wouldn't make it any less a part of the body. If all were a single member, verse 19, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. So keep ourselves in proportion. And then we've got verses 21 to 26. So we belong together. Everyone matters. We need to keep things in proportion. But then we come to these closing stages of Paul's argument here. And what he's saying here is we need to realize our connectedness. Realize our connectedness. A healthy body has all its parts working together. They're all doing what they need to do. And because they're doing what they need to do, the body is healthy. And a healthy body can grow. We've got that word written on the wall over there as one of our prime values. We want to see growth here, not just growth that fills these seats, but growth of lives that start to reflect a life that we can take on together that represents Jesus. We want to be like him. A healthy body has all its parts working together, and there's a place, a role, a function for everyone. There's a gift for everyone to have and to use. And here's where we need to kind of step aside. Stop thinking about ourselves as individual bits and start looking at the whole. Look at what we make up together rather than individually. And Paul has this great argument here which he wants the Corinthians to understand, because they've got this great impression about the upfront, the dramatic, the showy things in their minds. And Paul actually wants to puncture that bubble a little bit. He says to them in verse 22, on the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. So if you're feeling less significant here in this church, if you feel like a weaker part of this church, actually, this church probably needs you more. Because the bits and pieces that are weaker and that are hidden are actually indispensable. You can't see the internal organs in each of our bodies, thank goodness. But we wouldn't be here without them. If they weren't operating correctly, we'd be in Aberdeen Royal Infirmary instead of at Hillview Community Church this morning. All the parts need to work together, whether they're hidden or shown. They're all indispensable. They all have a function. And as we look and consider our own bodies, we see something of how the body of Christ works, how we can become who we are, how this church at Corinth, despite its many imperfections, could be the people they were called to be. They needed to understand their connectedness. God has so composed the body, says Paul in verse 24, the second half, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. It's kind of like a central nervous system that connects us. If one person hurts, or if something hurts, the whole body feels it. We all suffer together. So perhaps, if it's so important for us to be connected, we should just consider for a moment, is there some way in which God wants to grow the body into a new depth, a new life, a new means of strength by bringing others to us, by integrating them into the body, who or what are we missing at the moment? Who could be part of our body that enables this body to grow, to become more like this body that Paul talks about, the body of Christ, individually, us being members of it? Well, where does this all leave us? Who are you? If you know Jesus this morning, you're part of the body. Whether you're signed up to be a member of Hillview Community Church or some other church or not, if you know Jesus and you're a follower of him, you are part of the body. You don't need to become something first. And I think it's a great thing. Like, you don't have to learn to do something. You don't have to prove some dramatic gifting. You are part of the body if you know Jesus this morning. And that's exciting. We can come to Jesus and right away become integrated. We don't have to do something. We don't have to be something. We are something right away in him. And then think about what gives us life together. What are the signs of life? Just recently, in fact, just a week past Saturday, I had to go on a first aid refresher. And I spent a whole day learning all those things that you're meant to know anyway. You know, and there's an ABC to first aid. Who here has done first aid? Is there a few people? Yeah. So you'll know your ABC of first aid. Airways, what's the second one? Breathing, and then circulation. Airways, breathing, and circulation. The three most important things. As you kneel down, that body line on the ground, you listen, check that the airways are open. What is it then? Oh, yeah, then you're looking at breathing, and then you just make sure that blood's not going everywhere. So these are the signs. See, I did well at this course. These are the signs of life. And what Paul's pointing to here is that when we kneel down against the body of the church, as we put our ear to that body and check for signs of life, we should be seeing the breath of the Spirit. Like, there should be a way for the Spirit to come in. There should be a way for the Spirit to, like, be moving the church and actually breathing his presence into them. And that should be evidenced in gifts. Yes, says Paul, in gifts. But don't get them out of proportion. Don't get them all wrong. There are many more things. And Paul says, actually, you know, there are many more gifts here. And these lists are not, you know, they're not the only ones that exist. He's just throwing out examples to them and trying to point them in the right direction. And then he talks about, actually, he says, but earnestly, verse 31, earnestly, after talking about all these things, these so-called miraculous and the unmiraculous and the ordinary and all this sort of stuff that goes on in the church, he says, earnestly desire the higher gifts. And I was thinking about that. What are the higher gifts? I think the higher gifts are those things that reflect the person of Jesus more truly. Those things that will help you, that will tie in with your personality. Now, that's going to be different for every single one of us. But maybe the gifts that Christ will give you, that through his Holy Spirit, that enables you to more dramatically, more gracefully, more faithfully reflect who Jesus is. Now, for you, that might mean that you need to practice compassion or patience or actually love. But the higher gifts are the gifts where people look at us and they go, he's just like Jesus. She's just like Jesus. Like, that's how dramatic it can be. So the signs for life, the breath of the Spirit revealed in his gifts and the higher gifts that reflect Jesus. But also the circulation. And I think Paul points to that in his very last statement of this chapter. I will show you still a more excellent way. Go home, and as your homework assignment this week, read 1 Corinthians 13. It will be no chore, I can tell you. It's an amazing, beautiful, poetic description of love. Not just any love, God's love. God's love revealed in Jesus. Dramatically to every one of us. God's love is, for Paul, the lifeblood. If the Spirit is the breath of the church, the love of God revealed in Jesus is the lifeblood of the church. It should be coursing through us. We should demonstrate his love at every opportunity. So how can we demonstrate this connectedness as we just wrap up? Well, one way is to join God's people, to join God's local family, to be part of a local community of believers like us here at Hillview Community Church or some other church. I don't really mind where you hook up and join, but join somewhere, demonstrate that connectedness, join God's people, contribute to the body. Stay in the way of love. Not just any love, but God's love. Take it with you wherever you go. Let that love flow from you. And then embrace life in the Spirit and the gifts that He gives you. They're not just for use here at church. God's gifts are to His body. They're to the upbuilding of the body together. They're for the upbuilding of the body, not just when we're together, but when we're apart. Have you got the gift of encouragement? We'll use it at work. Have you got a gift of insight? We'll use that at home. Use it with your children. Have you got a gift of being able to serve? Well, serve well wherever you are. Have you got a gift of being able to demonstrate in very special ways God's love to people? We'll use that. Have you got the gift of insight of God's word? We'll then use that for the encouragement of people through the week. Take the gifts home with you. Take them to work. Take them into the world this week as we scatter. As we go out from here, remember, we're nonetheless the body of Christ. You are the body of Christ and individually members of it. Let's pray. Father God, thank you that you are making something beautiful, a masterpiece of your creation to reflect your glory in us. Complete what you've begun, we pray. Amen.
Stand and close with a song which is a prayer of commitment and devotion to the Lord Jesus. Jesus, we just celebrate who you are, the King of heaven and earth. And we rejoice in the fact that we here are your body, the body of Christ, and members of it individually, one another. And Father, we pray that whether it's in Hillview Community Church or whether it's in another local